The reading this evening comes from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. And we're reading this in two parts. First of all, verses 13 and 16, and then verses 28 to 35. And this can be found on page 1061 in the Church Bibles. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way, and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And then, yeah, that's it. Right, thank you.
Thank you, Trevor. So, in the shops and the world, Easter is past and over, and you can get Easter eggs at reduced price in various places if there are any left. But in the church, the Easter season carries on because Jesus kept appearing to his disciples, continued to appear to his disciples until he ascended to heaven. And so for that period until ascension, the church continues to focus on the resurrection of Jesus. And so in our evening sermons, last week we had a break because we looked at news from Haiti, but we're working our way through Luke chapter 24. On Easter Day, we looked at the first events when the women went to the tomb. Tonight, we're later in the day as the two disciples return to Emmaus. And then next week, we'll continue, as Leslie leads us, as we look what happened after they got back to Jerusalem. So tonight, I'm speaking on chapters 24, verses 13 to 35. You heard the start and the finish of it. And it won't disturb me at all if you want to get up and go to the back and get a Bible and see the bit you missed out. But to recap on that, there's two disciples making the journey. One of them, from the bit that's missed out, we know is called Cleopas. We don't know who the other one is. So naturally, scholars like to write pages on who it might have been. Was it Mrs. Cleopas? Was it some other disciple who was just kind of less well known or important than Cleopas? We don't know. But Cleopas and another. And this passage always means a lot to me because of two sermons that I heard when I was a student training for the ministry at Ridley Hall. And they each had the same passage, Luke 24, 13 to 35, and Jesus appearing to this couple on the road to Emmaus. And the first one was preached by a chap called Chris in Ridley Hall. Ridley Hall is in the evangelical tradition, which means the Bible is the focus, and it's more like this kind of a church in background. And this is what Chris picked out from the passage. "Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?'" And so Chris preached a sermon about how the scriptures are the place where we meet Jesus. It's we love to read the Bible. We need to read the Bible. It's as we read the Bible that we meet God and God speaks to us. It was fine. It was great. That was Chris's passion. Then on the following Sunday, I went to my local church where I was on placement, and we had with us a student from the other Church of England Training College in Cambridge, which is more high church, that's to say, that focuses more on communion, like to wear vestments and robes, like to swing incense and have statues, and more in that tradition. And he preached from the same passage, totally different sermon. He focused on verses 30, 31, and 35. When Jesus was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Then the two told what had happened on the way, and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And he talked about how the centrality of the sacrament, of communion in the Christian life, how it's when we take bread and wine that we encounter Jesus. Chris hadn't mentioned that at all. This chap, whose name I'm afraid I've forgotten, he didn't mention the Bible at all. The one focused entirely on the Bible, the other one focused entirely on communion. But what strikes me is they were both right. You know, there is truth in both. That it was on the road, as Jesus explained to them from the Bible, how God's word pointed to him, pointed to how the Son of Man must come, must die on the cross, must be raised from the dead, how the Bible, it was as they read the Bible that their hearts were warmed, but also as he broke the bread, as they shared and broke bread together, that they encountered him and their eyes were opened and they saw him. And it's not one or the other, it's the two together. And I think it's great that we remember those things, that we hold those two together, that our hearts can burn as we read the Bible, and we can encounter Jesus in communion. And I wonder, is that your expectation, that we meet Jesus in the Bible? During the week, I walked down to Cafe Nero. As I walked down, Cafe Nero, incidentally, should be paying me for this sermon because they get a couple of mentions, and on the screen as well. I walk down to Cafe Nero, and as I walk, I'm praying, I'm thinking about the Bible reading, and when I get there, I draft my sermon. And then another day, I will have my sermon in mind, and I will pray as I walk down, and then I will redraft it. Because I believe that God speaks to me through the Bible, that he has a message to share with you. You can tell me at the end whether you think he did have or not. But I believe that he speaks and that this word comes alive. At the moment in my daily readings, I'm reading Obadiah, shortest book in the Old Testament. Don't strongly recommend it as a place to start your daily Bible readings. It's kind of depressing about God's judgment on this little kingdom called Edom. But I believe I'm reading it, I'm studying it, because I believe God speaks through the Bible. We meet Jesus in Scripture. That's my experience. But I also believe that God meets us in communion, that as we share bread and wine, so we meet with Jesus. And I always remember Mavis in our last church, who came to church with an abscess on her tooth, thinking, how on earth am I going to manage the roast chicken we've got for lunch with this tooth? It's so painful. She received communion and she went home and had no pain at all. And she ate her roast chicken and thought afterwards, well, I had no pain. I've been healed. And her tooth was completely fine. And she believes that as she took communion, she was healed. And I believe that's perfectly feasible and possible because we meet Jesus in communion. We don't believe, as Anglicans, that we eat Jesus with our teeth. We don't believe that it becomes the body and blood of Christ. That's never been Anglican tradition. But what we do believe is it's more than just memorial. It's more than just remembering Jesus. But that as we eat bread and drink wine, so we feed on Jesus spiritually. So these are the words that are often used, not today, but they're often used at communion services just before we share the bread and wine. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you. So it's something you're doing in your mind. You're remembering, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. So you are actually feeding on Jesus. That's why we still say it's the body of our Lord Jesus Christ which he gave for you and his blood which he shed for you. Why, when we distribute communion, we might say the body of Christ keep you in eternal life, or the body of Christ given for you. Not that it's become mystically somehow his body and his blood, but as we eat the bread drink the wine, so he feeds us spiritually in our hearts as we do so in remembrance by faith with thanksgiving. That's the Anglican tradition. And Barbara preempted me using that prayer from Southwark because Fiona's going to use this communion prayer at the end of our communion together. And it's based on this passage. And it holds the two together. You see, stay with us, Lord. That's what the disciples said to Jesus as he went to walk on. Open our eyes. That's what happened when he broke the bread. Set our hearts on fire. That's what happened when he explained the scriptures to them. As you open your word, as you break your bread, as we see your word preached and read, as you break your bread, as we share communion together, as we live your life. It's a lovely prayer. And it sums up what we're all about. So I just want to ask the question, or throw out the challenge, do you come with expectation when you come to the Bible, whether it be day by day or in your small group? Whenever you read the Bible, whenever you listen to the Bible, do you come with an expectation? God wants to speak to me through this. Not just, I mean, it can be tempting, particularly if you've grown up in tradition that says it's very important you have a daily Bible reading, a daily quiet time. Just think, right, I've just got to read this paragraph, or I've just got to read this page. Right, let's see how fast I can do it. And you've read it, but it hasn't meant anything. That's one of the dangers, incidentally, of doing the Bible reading notes, or Bible in a week, or Bible in a year, or whatever, that you just think, I've just got to get through this. Come on, don't fall behind. Whereas actually, God wants to speak. Do we come with expectation? Not just because I ought to, but because God wants to speak. And you come to services with expectation. In the Old Testament, God spoke through a donkey to Balaam, so he can speak through preachers. And sometimes, I am conscious that sometimes it is actually despite the preacher. One of the times God spoke most powerfully in a life-changing way to me was in Holy Trinity Church in Cambridge. It was through 1 Samuel chapter 16. And to be honest, it wasn't what the preacher said at all. It was the Bible reading and then just listening to that Bible reading and thinking about it as he preached. I thought, yes, and God spoke to me through it. So I'm very conscious that, yeah, we play a part and we can be used. But God speaks through his word. Do you come with expectation? Do you come with expectation? And come with expectation to communion. Again, it's very easy to use the time when other people are going backwards and forwards thinking, oh, she's got a nice dress on today. Or, oh, what am I doing on Tuesday? But actually thinking, this is a place where I'm coming to feed on Jesus, where Jesus wants to feed me. Not physically with bread and wine. You don't get much, do you? I mean, it's, you know, I went to an old people's home once where a lady was suffering from dementia, passing round the bread, I passed around the chalice, and she went, there's not much in there, is there? I said, well, just take a sip. She said, well, there is only a sip. And she drained the whole chalice before it went to the next person. It's not the amount. It's the fact that we're feeding on Jesus. We're thinking about Jesus. We're remembering his death, his sacrifice for us. And we're feeding on him by the Spirit as we take the bread, as we take the wine. But what struck me as I was preparing, as I was praying this week, was a third point about this passage, which I'll share with you now. And it's this. Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Now, again, the commentators get all excited by this, so I wonder why it was that they couldn't recognize him. It's the kind of thing you kind of say, wow, I wonder what it was. You know, did he look different? How did he look different? But the key point is they were kept from recognizing him, which suggests it was God at work, that God didn't want them to recognize him. However, God did that. So he was walking with them, but they did not know it. And I suggest to you tonight, to me tonight, that often that is how it is in life with us too. The title of the sermon is Jesus is with us. And what I like to suggest is that most of the time we go through life, most of us, and Jesus is with us, but we aren't aware of it. Like those disciples, we're going along and we're chatting away and we're living our life. We're doing the stuff that we do each day. But actually, we're not conscious that Jesus is walking with us. We've forgotten that Jesus is walking with us. Or we don't know whether we're at the office, whether we're going shopping or going for coffee, or we're about our business in the home and cooking and so forth, or whether we're at school and studying, whatever it may be. Wherever we are, Jesus says he's with us. That's what Scripture says. He promises that he will be with us. But we so often go with our eyes closed, just like those disciples, forgetting that he's right there, oblivious of the fact that he is there beside us. And just to remind us, he promised us this, John 14, 18 to 20, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. He's with us, not physically, but by his Holy Spirit. And I'm sure you remember the last verse of the New Testament, Matthew's Gospel, not the New Testament, Matthew 28, 20. Surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus has promised that he's with us. But with the disciples, it was easy, wasn't it? Because he was there. He was walking alongside them. And Fiona was preaching on the passage this morning from that follows that Leslie will be preaching about next week. When he said, give me some fish. I'm physical. You can see me. You can touch me. We can't do that. And you might think, well, it's not the same, is it? I mean, of course they knew Jesus was with them because he was right there beside them. Well, no, they didn't because they were kept from seeing him. But Jesus promises us that just as really he is with us, and he promises that it's actually better for you and me that he's with us now than it was when he was with the disciples on the Emmaus Road. No, surely not. I mean, surely it would have been better to see him, really, than to be as we are. This is why he says it's better. Very truly, I tell you, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. The Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So Jesus says it's better for us that the Holy Spirit's with us than he being with us personally. Why is that? Well, I think the answer is because when Jesus was risen, just as in his life, he only went to one place at one time. If he was walking on the road to Emmaus, he wasn't in Jerusalem. If he was in Jerusalem, he wasn't in Emmaus. He just appeared one place, one time. It could be 500 people or one or two. But he limited himself to one location. The Holy Spirit, however, does not limit himself to one place, one time. Thank goodness. Praise God. The Holy Spirit can be at work in your workplace, in your school, in your coffee shop, in your kitchen, in your shops, wherever you are. In your hospital, wherever you are, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, can be with you and with me and with her and with him. And that's why it's so much better. Jesus is with us. And that's one of the things that we tried to communicate a couple of years ago when we talked about fruitfulness on the front line. Wherever we are, whatever we are doing, Jesus is with us. Now, the trouble is we often forget it. We're oblivious to it. We think, oh, this is a miserable day, isn't it? You know, why am I doing this? What is the point of this? Why is that colleague so annoying? But Jesus is with us. He is there alongside us. He's there to help us. He's there to strengthen us. Where we are, the kingdom of God is. We are in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is in us. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is with us. The Spirit is with us. Now, a little later in this service, as often in our communion services, Fiona will say, the Lord is here. It'll come up on the screen, and we will all dutifully reply, his Spirit is with us. But I'd like to suggest to you, we could do it differently. On the doors, as we go out, we could put, the Lord is there, and we all respond, his Spirit is with us. Because it's so easy to fall into the trap of thinking, yes, Jesus lives in church. Doesn't live in my workplace. Doesn't live in my street. But actually, where we go, Jesus goes. Where you go tonight, tomorrow, on Tuesday, this week, Jesus goes. Because Jesus is alive, Every day is Easter Day. He doesn't just appear for the days until Ascension. He is with us every day, everywhere, whatever we do. And that is one of the glorious, wonderful, amazing truths about Easter. That's one of the things that we celebrate, that Jesus is alive and he is with us. Wherever we are, wherever we go, he is with you. He is with me. He is with us. That is cause for celebration. Let's pray. Lord, forgive us that we are so forgetful, and that so often when we face difficulties and unpleasant situations and difficult people and struggles in our lives, we forget that you are standing right there with us. Help us this week to remember your presence with us. Help us this month to remember your presence with us. Help us this year to remember your presence with us. Help us always to remember your presence with us. Help us to know that you are alive, and we are in you, and you are in us. And we are in the kingdom, and the kingdom is us, in us. And wherever we go, the kingdom goes with us. Wherever we go, you go with us. Thank you, Jesus, for that amazing, astonishing, incredible, glorious, and wonderful truth. Help us to live in its light day by day. And Lord, just as we're praying that for ourselves, we pray it for each other. In your name, amen.